the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome to the 3-year anniversary episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast here on the CBP Media Network. Len, I got to be honest with you. I forgot until I saw it in the thumbnail that we had done 3 years. So just before we went on, I said, happy 3 years. I'll say it again. You know, we've done a good job. You are now, you got to be close to my second longest, you know, serious relationship here. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm married now, so I don't think anyone else is going to pass you. Do you feel any kind of way about that? I don't know. What do you think?
Why am I number two? I thought I was number one.
I'll be happy to play second fiddle here. Okay, only in terms of length. I won't talk about that.
No, in this case, I'll be happy to be second fiddle. It's very good that somebody else is ahead of me and somebody that's very near and dear to your heart. But yeah, 3 years, this has been phenomenal. And you know that, I'll be honest, I'm sorry to say this, I kind of forgot until the message came in. It's like, oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, so it's going to be a regular old episode. Three years of doing this. It's going to be a lot of fun, this one. A lot of talk about both on the home front and what's going on globally, Bitcoin and notable news.
But tons, enjoy. Lots of notable news tonight.
Yeah, I think it's time to talk about, well, we have the scheduling first. I think it's before we even go anywhere.
Let's sure, quickly, yeah.
Before we go to the sponsors, Bob Burnett, because people that are unaware is going to be coming in this Wednesday. I'll be chatting with him. There's lots that happened since he's last been on the show, and I'll be happy to catch up with him. We'll talk also about classic Green Bay Packers games as well, and maybe some classic. because what was happened, Joey, last time we chatted, we went off the air, and we spent maybe 30 to 40 minutes just chatting about like the 80s and 90s football, baseball. I don't know what else.
So like, who's his favorite? Like, does he think, okay, so I you should ask him tomorrow. I always...
2 days.
I thought it was tomorrow. I guess today's Monday. I ask him if he thinks, I don't know if he cares about like the sort of more recent Packers teams, but I always thought that the Packers wasted Javon Walker behind Donald Driver instead of just cutting ties with Driver as he got into his late 20s, early 30s. And Javon Walker was the better receiver all along. You should ask him about that. See what he says.
I'll see what he says.
Yeah. Donald Driver, Madden franchise. You get rid of Driver if you take the Packers and just let Javon Walker run with it.
That's a name I haven't heard of, Donald Driver, for quite a while. So, we'll go into that. Also, Joey, I think it's a good time to talk sponsors.
Let's do it.
This is the time. So,
okay, so we'll do EasyDNS, and then we obviously have some news to not share, but amplify from Bull Camp. So, Mark Jeftovic, EasyDNS, he's the proprietor, friendly neighborhood, hosting service, domain name, registrar, all the stuff you need. Me and Len use them. Posting on the website more and more. I know some of you guys reached out and said you I've been enjoying the research reports. I know you guys read Len's Week to Come on CBP every Sunday. It's a good place for you to catch up with us and see what's coming on Monday night so you can get ready to talk smack in the chat with all your friends and some enemies. Also over at EasyDNS, if you want to do anything with a virtual private server, so you set up your website and you maybe want to do more, you want to do BTC Pay server, you want to do a Bitcoin node, you want to build your own Nostr relay, which we have. Actually, I think we have CanadianBitcoiners.com on Nostr, I'm pretty sure. I think we do. I'm pretty sure I'm verified on Nostr with CanadianBitcoiners.com. I wouldn't know because I have relay. I don't know what it is. What is that?
That's simply, the NIP 05? It's been a while since I looked into that. That's just getting your name verified. Nostr relay, like you'd have to connect to a bunch of relays, and they're the ones that are sending and receiving the messages for you. There's not one central entity. You have to selectively choose which ones you want to connect to. And
I do have the thing. I definitely have the check mark. So I don't know how I got that, but what is that? We still don't know what that's called. Verification.
I think it's a NIP 05.
Whatever it is, Mark did it. He did it for us. He took care of it. And, if you want to do any of that stuff or node this implementation, now that service is deceased, at least in part, Mark will help you. Head over to EasyDNS, take care of whatever you need to take care of. Do the same stuff we're doing. Do your own thing, whatever it is you want to do. Mark and his team will help you do it. CBP Media is the code. Or catch him in the chat Monday night. Or just tweet at him. Or, carrier pigeon, smoke signal. The Vatican still uses that. A lot of people care about that smoke signal, so maybe Mark will care about yours. Anyway, great sponsor. We're happy to be working with them. But he's not the one we're talking about tonight, is it? Maybe we should talk about the other sponsor. What's going on with that sponsor?
Well, very briefly, let's talk about what they offer, which is quite a bit, especially right now. And you could buy and sell your Bitcoin. Look, the price of Bitcoin's been hovering around.
This is Bull Bitcoin, by the way. Len, skip the name. Bull Bitcoin is Bull the Bitcoin, sponsor. Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the price, $69,000. How long have we been stuck in this high 60s, low 70s? It's been three weeks, probably 2 weeks.
Yeah, almost.
That's a long time to just be stuck here. So it's stablecoin territory, maybe. But Bull Bitcoin, you could buy, you could sell your Bitcoin. There's lots you could do over there. On-chain Lightning. So if the fees are going up, last time I checked, they weren't all that high. So you may want to do your on-chain buys moving forward until things change. But who knows? Ruins may change everything, and you might have to start buying on Lightning. Anyways, so with Bull Bitcoin, other different options you could do, you could pay your bills with your Bitcoin. So if you have a Bitcoin stack that you want to start using and start spending it out in the real world, you can. With a couple of different ways. Number one, as I mentioned, you could pay your bills. So if you have like your electrical bill, your gas bill, whatever the heck you got to pay through Bull Bitcoin, you could start spending your Bitcoin and start paying those bills. The second thing you could do with your Bitcoin and spend it is buying gift cards through Bull Bitcoin. So you can use those gift cards in the real world and indirectly use your Bitcoin to pay for your purchases, your goods and services, and live on the Bitcoin standard, just the way Satoshi wanted you to. But the best thing they have, and April 15th, it looks like it may be coming to an end, is the KYC free buys, where you can go to Canada Post, load up your Bull Bitcoin account with Canadian dollars, and there's no identification right now, and just no KYC, so you're good to go. And the spread is really cheap, the cheapest in Canada. It could be cheapest in the world. I can't say, I don't travel that much, but still, either way, it's cheap. It's easy to do. But keep in mind, April 15th, they are going to start asking you for identification at the post office. And that means that there's going to be a little bit of information they're going to ask for you. And that's all I know at this particular moment. I can't share anything more because I don't have anything more to share, except for April 15th is a deadline where they're going to start asking for identification at the post office.
Could be more to come on that front from Bull. I'll just say this, okay? Me and you make a big deal about the KYC free, and I'll be honest, I use it a lot. I'm sure you do too. I don't use it exclusively. Like, I still do easy e-transfer buys or whatever if I'm like in the mood for a quick dopamine hit in the stack. I think a lot of people still do that. I'll just say this, okay? I can see in the chat there's discussion around, well, we got to find an alternative. I'm not going to say that there's not a place for KYC free Bitcoin. There is, of course there is. We've been talking about it for months. You know, we've been with Bull almost a year now, it feels like. And in the near year we've been with them, we've gotten to know the team a little bit. There may be alternatives for KYC free Bitcoin, but I will tell you right now, there is no alternative for the kind of people working at a company like Bull anywhere else in the space. Okay, I'm not going to name other companies. I'm not going to name other people, but I will tell you, and it's not like I'm breaking news here. The Bull team is as mission focused and as anti-fiat as any group of men I've ever met in my life. And if that's the kind of thing you want to support, you know how to support it. If you want to go somewhere else, you go somewhere else. But for me, and I think for a lot of other people, that really matters. And I, you know, I plan on continuing to use them for the, you know, the vast majority of my buys. Again, there's other options, but for me, I don't know. Like, I have a hard time now saying to myself, what are we going to do? We're going to not support guys who I know are extremely mission focused, not worried about anything else, not worried about, you know, outside pressure. And you know, it's so long, maybe. And not goodbye. What is that saying? Maybe see you later. Don't say goodbye. Say so long or whatever. I can't remember. Something. But, you know, who knows? These guys are innovators, man. I wouldn't be surprised if there was another avenue for KYC free in the works.
Yeah. And like people are saying in the chat, you could use RoboSats for non-KYC Bitcoin if you really have to buy KYC free. BISC2, HODL.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a few others too.
There's options. There's options.
Yeah. And All right. So that's out of the way. If anybody has any questions, feel free to throw it at us and hopefully we'll be able to answer it. But I also have some boosts I got to get out of the way.
Let's do it. And then I want to talk a bit about the next few weeks on the show because we have a bunch of double interview weeks coming up. Let's just prime people for that too.
Doom Dumasm, 521 sats. Thank you for your time. He always does the same thing. 521 sets, and he's thank you for your time. So it's becoming a regular. You're welcome. He was on the verge of getting cut because he was fifth lowest in terms of sets because Wedge Social sent in 1,000 sets.
Hold on a minute. Wedge? Dan Wedge? From yeah. Chips Down with Grant. I haven't heard Dan Wedge in a year, probably. I haven't heard from him.
He's on Noster. He engages with me quite a bit on Noster.
Wow, Wedge, what's up, man? That's a throwback. Awesome to hear from him. Okay, go ahead.
And he's listening to us all the time because when he engages me on Noster, he's listening to the show and quoting what we've done. So
love it.
He's a loyal listener. 1,000 sats, he writes in Larga Vida, ESSDR. Larga Vida means like long life.
God, it means something life, right?
DR, I don't know what that stands for, El Salvador, but ESSDR, I don't know. I wish I knew the answer to that. Maybe somebody could answer, or maybe Wedge could let me know in the future. But either way, thanks for the sats. The Bird, 1,000 sats. He writes in, Madex equals principles over preference.
Strong legend. Work. Legend.
Doug and Roop, 1,000 sats. So he writes in, Madex phrased it so well when he said, when it comes to yourself, selling out is something that you'll never buy back. Combine that with the Joker. Sometimes it's not about the money. It's about sending a message. It says, rest at ankle, Madex, and look forward to adding some more stickers to my Fiat mining desk. Great rip, JNL.
Love it.
Thank you.
Love it.
And the last we have, Jordab, 24,000 sats.
Thank you very much.
He says, happy birthday, CBP, for real this time. Crazy to think that you guys have been putting out quality content for the past 156 weeks. Joey, thanks for talking about it all those years ago. It has truly changed my life. Also, thanks to PLP, Plate Licking Pleb, for the rest of the sats. So, and I just want to mention that all the sats we received to date for the past while on our fountain, it's going to go to Madex and also our referral code, our referral missionary stuff from Bull Bitcoin for the next week. And for the past few weeks, we've collected. It's going to go to Madex as well. So please keep buying.
We're giving away what's probably going to wind up being a fairly lucrative week of referral fees. So pump it up, man. It's all going to a good cause. Help that guy's ankle heal up or whatever. Len, at the conference in May, I'm doing a panel with Madex and Francis that I think is going to be really, really good on the main stage. I can't remember what time. I think it's the Friday at noon or 12:10. I forget what time, but really looking forward to talking with those guys.
That's the first day.
Yeah. First day.
Very cool.
Okay. So next week, if I'm looking at this calendar right, we are absolutely slammed. So tomorrow, Wednesday, Bob Burnett, right? April 3rd, the 9th, Nuclear Bitcoin, Orion McLeod. I'll do that one. The 10th, it looks like Floyd Marinescu wants to do April 10th. I thought he was in May.
We could move him to May.
No, I'll do it. I'll do two. I don't care. It's fine with me. I owe you. It's no big deal. So Ryan McLeod, Nuclear Bitcoiner. We'll talk about all things nuclear going on in the world. He's always sending me messages about stuff that we talk about on the show. So I'm looking forward to talking with him in a longer format. He's always been a fan favorite. And then Floyd Marinescu is a guy who is a UBI and land value tax proponent in Canada. And I think, and you're laughing, I think there's going to be more that you agree with him on than not, honestly. Maybe the solution, there may be some granular disagreement, but I think broadly you will agree that we've done a lot of things wrong along the way in terms of the incentive structure. So I'll be talking to him. And then the week after that, Plate Licker, I think he's coming to my house. So I have to find out what his plans are. Len, if I can figure it out, we're going to do that episode from the weight room. I'm going to move all the cameras and stuff into the weight room and get the two wireless mics going, and we'll rip while I spot him as he benches 95 pounds on the barbell. I think that's probably all he can do. So we'll do that.
No, he's that man. He's way higher than that.
Who is Taras Kulik on the 17th?
He's a Bitcoin mining. He's related with Bitcoin, my Sunnyside Inc. So okay. This is a referral from Boomer. Oh. So he's been moving around a little bit. He's rescheduled a few times. So hopefully he'll stick for this one.
Okay. That sounds good. And then the week after that, the Carrazzos will be at my house Tuesday at 11 a.m. the 23rd. So I'll be streaming that one live early in the day. So watch that one. Looking at you, listener, viewer. Crystal Woody and Jeff Lucas, the 24th. And then Len, on the 30th, I will be talking to David Bailey and Mark Goodwin about all things Bitcoin Magazine, the conference, et cetera, et cetera. So packed. How many interviews we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 interview episodes plus 5 flagships.
In response to that, the 29th of April, the day before for that, because I don't want to be anywhere near those motherfuckers. I have somebody replacing me.
Who?
Somebody coming in, and he goes by Dan, aka Bitcoin Scribe. You know him.
Everybody knows Scribe. Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay.
He's coming in. We've made arrangements that he could take over for me that day. So the 29th, he's coming in, and that week I am not touching anything to do with that because those guys, they are radioactive. I don't want to wear my radioactive suit that day.
I'll try and ask some good questions. Anyway, yeah, it's gonna be a busy month, and then probably as we usually do in the summer. Although I do see still a bunch of interviews already scheduled. The summer maybe we won't slow down like we usually do, but we might do a few more nooners and stuff like that. Try and keep the Wednesday's episodes a bit shorter for your sanity and for ours here at CBP. So, Len, where do you want to start? We got lots of heat to discuss tonight. I'll leave it up to you. Where should
let's start the flight first? Something a little bit non-controversial, like give us an opportunity to smile on things, because there's going to be more filtering options moving forward for node runners out there. Because Umbrel, this is the OS that is popular amongst node runners. They have announced they're going to be offering Bitcoin knots as an option for people. And from what I understand, Bitcoin Core is or was the default node software available on Umbrel. I don't know if they have offered anything else aside from that, but they are now offering knots. So with knots, they're giving the users the ability to filter out trash that they don't want on their mempools, namely the JPEGs. And if you read through the comments on X, because I never ran Umbrel, it looks like it's not possible to edit the bitcoin.conf in the UI through Umbrel.
Right.
And the file that you are able to edit, the umbrel-bitcoin.conf, didn't seem too effective with respect to filtering out stuff out of your mempool. So now with this option, with knots, you're going to have the option in the UI to just go ahead and do it, and you're good to go. And further comments show that it's now like it's live and people are doing it and it's working fine. I'm not sure exactly if you have to edit, like I mentioned, a UI or a config file, but either way, the option exists somehow that you could filter this out. And I know a number of people up there run Umbrel, right? It's an easy rendition to run it. And this might encourage them to also run knots. And the way I understand it is, if you are running right now Umbrel and you want to move over to knots, I believe you have to start from scratch and resync everything. I don't think you just download knots and move over from there. From what I see, people are resyncing. They're doing initial block download and starting from scratch. But either way, so on top of this, we have like Umbrel that I just mentioned. And there's another OS out there called Bitcoin, another OS that allows for people to run a Bitcoin node called Citadel. I never heard of Citadel before, but they also announced they're going to allow for Bitcoin knots as an option starting in Citadel version 0.3.5. So there you go. Citadel, just an FYI, this is also not just a Bitcoin node that you could run on that OS, but also a Lightning node that you could run on that, and it could be done on Raspberry Pi 5s. So the movement for more filters continues, but I would suggest for people out there, Umbrel, it isn't really, in my opinion, the best option. If you recall, not too long ago, the ClearNet fiasco where they were pinging the server through ClearNet, even though you were running on Tor, still they were calling the mothership through ClearNet to find out if there were any updates. And through that, you never know if they were harvesting IPs. They said they weren't, but still the question remains. So there's some questions with everything that's going on with Umbrel. I would suggest look at other options. If you just want to run a node, you could do that on your Windows, your Mac OS, or even Linux, which is my preference. And you can run Core, you can run knots strictly on those and do it simply and do it easily without dealing with these other OSs. But still, for people out there that want to run them, the Umbrels of the world, the option exists. Knots is available and you can now start filtering. This is good news.
Should mention that you did a somewhat deep dive into nodes on the Karadza show on Your Life, Your Terms came out last week. So if you're looking for a little more on nodes, you can definitely get it there. So I guess, Len, like you're mentioning there that there's like a sync, I shouldn't say an issue, but you do have to resync your blockchain there. You have to download all the Bitcoin transactions. I mean, that's not that big a deal, is it? It's not like you have to sit there and watch it. You hook it up, you start it and come back in a week or whatever and it's done, right? So it's like a process that you have to go through when you set up a node. I mean, I'm saying this like I know I don't actually have a node, as many people have pointed out to me. So, let's get you going. I know. Do you expect this to continue? That all these people are going to release new options and provide a feature set that lets you, you know, get rid of spam, I guess, is what you would say. Probably, right? It seems like they're going to.
People like it. People are asking for it. And the developers of the these operating systems are now enabling the users to take advantage of it. So why wouldn't they? So give people an option. If they want to take advantage of it, go ahead. It's not like Knox is very old or outdated. It continually gets updated just alongside Core. So there's, it just gives you more functionality, easier ways to filter. You can still filter with Core. Let's not dance around this. Core, you could do the exact same thing. Just go into bitcoin.com file. Actually, I did a video on that not too long ago, and I cited the resource that pointed me to all that, which is Bitcoin All Caps. And he outlined what three different lines, I believe it is, you have to put in, or two or three different lines you put in your bitcoin.com. And that's enough to filter out your trash. But yeah, to go answer your question, that was long-winded. I think more of these software developers are going to be offering it because people want it. Options are good, and people like to filter out this trash. Let's keep doing it. This is the way to go.
I do think that the people, like regardless of my feelings or your feelings or anyone's feelings on ordinals, in inscriptions, it does seem to me like there's like the population of people who run nodes are this, like there's a lot of overlap with the I don't want any junk on the blockchain crowd, right? It's really the people who don't run nodes that don't really care, but the people who are deep enough that they have a node running, I think, want that optionality. I would expect that. I mean, I don't know if you can even measure this. You might be able to, you might not. I'm not sure. Maybe you can tell me, but I would expect that the number of nodes that have some kind of filter running is going to be more than 65%. That's not, like, by the time this is all said and done, right? I think it's got to be, right? It seems to me like that's the right group of people to ask if they want the optionality, and most of them would just turn it on because they are kind of, what's the phrase? They're more committed, right? They care more about what's going on the network, let's say, than maybe someone who doesn't have a node. So I would expect that population is going to run pretty hot when it comes to whether they turn that on or not. Right? Do I have that right? I think I do.
I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. If I had to hazard a guess, I would say a very low number of people are actually engaging with the filtering of their nodes. A lot of people, I would imagine, are running stuff like Umbrel, and up until now, you didn't have the option to do that. So they were just doing that. So I think now with the option available,
when the dust settles, like 65%, is that the right number or is it too high?
Probably a rather high, but it's going to be creeping up every month, just because of through education and the options available. I think that number is going to be creeping up. We'll probably be in the 20s, maybe 30s, and that's even very high at that.
That's okay. Yeah,
I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised, honestly. But the whole point of Bitcoin is everyone gets to do, you know, the Ordinals crowd would make this case too. I'm using everything I'm doing is in the rules of the network. Well, so is filtering out the transactions. So we're all going to play by the same set of rules and may the best man win, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's move on, Joey. You want to talk about Coinbase? I think it's a good opportunity to talk about that.
We may as well. Yeah, sure. Let's dunk on me some more here. I got the Ordinals one up first, filtering it out. Now we got the Coinbase. Go ahead.
There's no fucking talking about it. This is because they're going through their own set of headaches with US regulators out there. Yeah. Because Coinbase... Yeah. The question is, are they operating as an unregistered broker exchange?
Give the summary, and then I got a lot to say about this. Honestly, I think it's ridiculous, but go ahead.
Well, so it's all part of the SEC that they laid charges against Coinbase and Binance not too long ago. And on the Binance, I believe that is more, let's not even talk about this, but Coinbase has tried unsuccessfully to get this lawsuit dismissed. And the judge who oversaw the dismissal request said that the regulatory agency, the SEC, had a plausible cause against the exchange. So the judge is of the opinion that, yeah, maybe there is something here that needs to be heard. And as I mentioned, it's all part of a lawsuit, which the SEC claims that Coinbase is violating federal security laws. And they might have made trading and staking available to just about anybody out there with a pulse and identification. And that is part of the sticking point that the SEC has. So the trading and staking purposes is just about anybody. And the judge believes that Coinbase didn't seem to be acting as a brokerage. So with respect to that, that part of the lawsuit has been dismissed. So the other parts, though, the exchange and clearinghouse, that may still, well, that looks like it's going to be heard. And if it is indeed true that they are, then they're going to be wrapped pretty damn hard. But we'll see what happens with the court case, because I'm wondering how successful the SEC will be with this one, with this
because
their track record, their recent track record, and, you know, look at what happened with Ripple, for example. I don't know. Maybe they may not have anything to stand on here. But since Coinbase is the holder of choice for a lot of ETFs, so the ETFs are utilizing Coinbase as the custodian for Bitcoin, it makes me wonder what's going to happen moving forward with Bitcoin, because there is a strong connection right now, at least, between, for people that like to talk about price, between the price of Bitcoin and what's going on with Coinbase. If something were to come out that is going to be really bad damage against Coinbase, I think that's going to impact the price of Bitcoin negatively for a short period of time, and it'll catch up. But still, we can't overlook that there is a connection right now, at least, between the ETFs and Coinbase. And yeah, this lawsuit is still going on, and let remains to be seen what's going to happen. But I want to hear your thoughts. It looks like you have some opinions here you want to share.
Well, because again, like, I'm not saying anything new here. I've said it on this show and on other appearances I've done, including Your Life, Your Terms, including, you know, Mike Campbell's Money Talks. When Coinbase filed their S1, okay, 4 years ago at this point, or for 3 years ago at this point, whatever year it was, they went public, 20 or 21, I forget now, but
21 March.
Okay, so there you go. They get the S1 approved. So the SEC lets an unregistered securities dealer, their words, not mine, go public. Okay, that's number one. Then the SEC's unregistered securities dealer is the avenue through which the US government buys, or sorry, I shouldn't say buys, although they could be, I guess, but sells Bitcoin that they've confiscated over the years. They could go anywhere to sell the Bitcoin. Kraken, for example, which is not an unregistered securities dealer, though has similarly been in the crosshairs in the last few years. They go to Coinbase to sell it. So this illegal, this entity that's operating illegally that you just approved to go public, you're also using it to sell your bags to the public. Okay, so you got two there. Then you approve, after so much, you know, debate and disrepute, these ETF products, including, by the way, changing the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, which has existed for a long time, to an ETF. Never had a problem with Grayscale, by the way, right? Grayscale has been operating in this fucking gray zone when it comes to the bankruptcy. Story for another time. You approve all these ETF products where Coinbase is the custodian. Your illegal securities dealer is the custodian for public-facing ETF products, for which there is demand unprecedented anywhere in the modern market economy, okay? Now you're telling me that you're going to continue to go down this road saying that they're running some kind of illegal operation. What leg do they have to stand on? Gensler at this point is just like submitting himself to these public humiliation rituals on a regular basis. He's losing everywhere. As much as I don't, you know, want to talk about Ethereum, I'm even looking at the way he talks about the Ethereum ETF. Is this guy like for real? There's going to be an ETF for Ethereum, whether I want it or whether I don't want it, whether he wants it or doesn't want it. There's going to be an ETF for Ethereum, because the guys who are walking the dog and giving the dog biscuits, guys like Fink and others, want the product. He's going down this road where he just doesn't seem to care about how legitimate he looks. He only wants to, you know, sort of feign this power over markets and over entities that are operating in the US market. Is Coinbase running a securities exchange? I don't know. I don't even think it matters, honestly, Len. Like, to me, it doesn't matter at all. You've given implicit approval to this company over the last 3 years, vis-a-vis all these other actions that you've taken and the actions that you haven't taken during the same period. And now this is when you're going to try and run. Like, I don't get it. I really don't. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, because it seems to me like Coinbase is just so much better equipped to handle this stuff. On another note, in the past, you've seen Bitcoin companies, Coinbase included, take on former SEC and other regulator legal support, attorneys, whatnot, people who you would imagine know the inner workings of some of these institutions and agencies. There's been a recent push. I don't remember where I saw this, but there was a semi prominent person on Twitter. I say semi-prominent. Sure, shit, more prominent than me and you. But he's talking on Twitter about how these companies now are basically saying behind closed doors, do not hire anyone from the SEC anymore. Let these guys rot in obscurity once their regime turns over. No more revolving door into crypto. We don't want them. We don't need them. They're complicit. They're architecting the problem. They're not just being fooled by Gensler. And so I think there's been a real shift in the power dynamic between the SEC and the crypto companies. Mostly, I will admit that this mostly comes as a result of traditional finance entities grabbing the bull by the horns here in a major way when it comes to ETF products. And I expect Coinbase to win because it's in everyone's interest now, as far as where the money is, that Coinbase continues to win and dunk on the SEC. And Gensler just looks... he just looks like a sad little man at this point, honestly. You know, he gets on TV and Joe Kernan fucking, you know, 360 windmills on him. He gets on Twitter and people fucking dunk on him. His agency can't keep the fucking Twitter password secure. Like, what is he doing to protect anybody? The answer is nothing. The agency has lost all its teeth. It's lost its legitimacy, like so much of the US government at this point. And I expect it to continue. It's only going one way, and it's not going to get better for this guy, I don't think, before November.
Well, look at the way the winds are blowing, because it's going to be, because we'll go to the next story. It's going to give an idea, because this one either flew under the radar or nobody gives a shit about it. You hear what's going on with KuCoin?
No, KuCoin, I haven't. Len, I haven't heard about what's going on with KuCoin. Tell me.
Well, KuCoin and two of its founders, they've been charged with Bank Secrecy Act and money laundering violations.
Cool.
I suspect this is rather large, because this was spearheaded by Damian Williams. This is the United States attorney for the Southern District of New York. So that's the person that's involved there. So KuCoin and its two founders, Chun Gan and Kay Tang, hope I pronounced it right, they're accused of operating without proper anti-money laundering protocols. And the U.S. is arguing that KuCoin has pulled the wool over the eyes of the U.S. by fudging the numbers of reported U.S. users that are trading on their platform. The U.S. also is arguing that KuCoin has a responsibility to act accordingly to help identify and drive out crime and corrupt financing schemes, aka money laundering.
Sure.
And KuCoin not reporting certain data, well, this has put them in hot water. And what I find odd is that this is one of the world's largest exchanges, but this news isn't even making a ripple. And I'm not talking about that shitcoin XRP. Nobody's really talking about this, which is kind of odd, at least from what I gather. Yeah. And so they only introduced a KYC program, KuCoin did, back as late as July 2023. So up until last year, the middle of last year, they didn't have a KYC program. And this only applies to new customers. So if you're an old customer, you still could fly under the radar. So seems rather late in the game to be offering this. But the U.S. investigators revealed that KuCoin's operations, reportedly, they allowed over $5 billion of suspicious and criminal funds to flow through their exchange. And this was all before KYC became a requirement, at least for the new customers. And some of these funds are being tied into Tornado Cash. Remember them? So, you know, there's some things here that just seems very fishy, at least with respect to at least the way that the U.S. is looking at things. Mm-hmm. And these charges were laid by the Department of Justice. These are similar to the ones that were done against Binance. And looks like they're slowly going through all the files that they have on their desk to get to each exchange and make sure that they're doing everything what the U.S. thinks they should be doing. So this is an interesting story, but not many people are talking about this for whatever reason. But here we are. KuCoin is under the eyes of the radar for the U.S. government.
Interesting. Narwhal's in the chat saying that KuCoin was one of the last sort of OFAC-resistant exchanges out there. So maybe that's related, right? You got Tornado Cash, you got OFAC resistance, the KYC program that wasn't until last year, and now, under the gun. I don't know. Like, it's maybe it's just because we're in North America. I don't think KuCoin is very popular over here. There's a lot of other options that are a little easier and a little more transparent. So probably it's not top of mind for many of us, but something to keep an eye on. There is no bad data point when it comes to these stories. It's good to see like where everyone is coming down on these things. And this is just another example of why you should be careful of where you spend your money in terms of buying Bitcoin. Because now, you know, presumably some of the names and addresses associated with that exchange are going to be under the microscope a little bit more than maybe they want it to be.
So one thing that I'm just, again, I just reiterate, I'm shocked that not many people are talking about it. It just seems that you know, when Binance was fucked over by the
Other stuff going on though, then, like, you know what I mean? There's just, I guess, maybe, I don't know.
Maybe, or maybe we're just numb to this at this particular moment. Yeah. We've gone through this enough times.
I actually didn't see this story once on Twitter, like not even a single time. Where did you see it? Twitter. Should ask.
Yeah, Twitter. Then I dug deep and I found the CoinDesk article. I found others and helped me, you know, formulate my opinion here. But anyways, very odd. Either way, another one that's odd. Neelan. I hope I pronounced it right. Neelan Resources. You ever heard Neelan? Sorry, Neelan.
Yeah, the gold miners, right? Yeah.
The gold and copper guys, and yeah. Apparently they're based out of Quebec, so they're Canadian at that. Now, this is a classic pump and dump. This is going to be good, Joy. There's some interesting stuff I learned along the way. So rumors are floating around not too long ago, just last week, that this gold mining company, Neelan Resources, was going to buy 24,800 Bitcoin. And this was reported by some websites like Global News Wire, Seeking Alpha, and a few others. And the news... you know, this was entered, it's going to be a letter of intent with something called Cyber Data, and they were going to acquire a special purpose entity to establish under the name of MindWave. They're going to be, MindWave was going to hold the 24,800 Bitcoin. And through this, Neelan was going to acquire 100% capital stock of MindWave, and they're going to be selling some newly authorized Series C stock in exchange for that. This is just a lot of, you know, shifting of the chairs on the Titanic, but really, in the end, so Neelan Resources was going to buy a bunch of Bitcoin. And the problem is they didn't have the capital to execute this type of buy. The market cap of Neelan before this all took place was around five-ish million U.S. dollars. And the Bitcoin value at the time they announced it was around $1.7 billion. So you do the math, $5 million company trying to buy $1.7 billion worth of Bitcoin. If they could do that, the CBP, we should be doing the same thing.
That's what I was about to say.
So numbers obviously don't add up. But still, even if they don't add up, so people out there, they jumped on board because it raised a whole bunch of speculators. You know, like, this is going to go up. And the stock price did jump up. It started from around 1.6 cents a share to as high as 30 cents a share in just one day. And this jump even happened after the news was debunked. And furthermore, the CEO, Ron McIntyre, resigned as he was reported as saying, just look at this chart. It's a classic pump and dump. This is right from their former CFO. Now, he says his coworkers have indicated there was going to be a transaction forthcoming, but they never gave him the details of the deal and issued a press release without letting him review it or telling him about the announcement. So basically, a bunch of guys in it, at least according to him, this is all alleged, a bunch of guys within the team, they went around the CEO, released this information, increased the stock price, and I guess they made bank as a result of this.
Somebody's going to jail here, Len. Somebody
has to. Right? This is a classic, you know, pump and dump. This is the TradFi version of inscriptions. It's purely trash, shady moves, and here we are. Remember Briex? It's not quite on those side of things, on that level, but man, oh man, it's always a Canadian gold mining company that seems to be involved. But on the flip side, once another company does announce they're going to buy Bitcoin, and as long as it's within their means to buy it, obviously you see investors are happy with that. So maybe this might encourage another company out there to actually do the purchase, but these guys are not.
I don't know if you saw that. And there's another announcement that shipping containers full of gold foil found at Neelan Mine's most recent gold discovery too. Gold foil, gold confetti, gold spray paint. Yeah, you got to look into that. That's an interesting.
Do you remember Briex?
No, I'm too young for that. That's like the late 80s, early 90s, right? I'm pretty sure.
Late 90s.
They were the company who said they found a mine in Africa and nobody ever went to check it out. Is that them? And then finally when, like, somebody went.
Indonesia or somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah.
And it turned out that they salted the testing, like the soil that they did.
Oh, man.
Somebody ended up getting pushed outside of a helicopter, I think.
No, he just fell.
They found his remains like weeks later, ravaged by animals. But yeah, it was a sad situation.
This reminds me of? Remember like in 2017 or 18? It was during the ICO craze, I'm pretty sure. I can't remember now. But remember Long Island Iced Tea or whatever changed their name to Long Island Blockchain or something like that? It just feels like this is the same kind of move. Like I gotta get my stock, my options up, and I gotta exercise them. So I gotta do something. What am I gonna do? I gotta tell everyone that I'm gonna buy a billion in Bitcoin or whatever the number was. I think it's like the same thing. You should look that up. People are listening. Long Island blockchain. If you came in 2020, you don't remember that, but it's a story worth telling. If you think that anything you see today is crazy, 2017 was fucking nuts. Some of the stuff that was going on. It's an idea company. They changed to a blockchain. Kodak, I think, changed to a blockchain company too for like a hot minute. Did they not? Like, it was a total psycho mess.
What did Kodak?
Or Polaroid? Was it Polaroid or Kodak? One of them was Kodak, like,
shifted away from.
I can't remember now. I can't remember. But one of those companies like moved to blockchain. Kodak. Yeah, yeah. I just, this kind of is like the same strategy, it feels like. I think, anyway, I don't know. Maybe you have a different opinion, but pretty wild that went on then. And now you have, you know, gold mining companies saying, no, don't abandon us. We'll buy Bitcoin.
This is the only way they're going to make me relevant moving forward.
That's crazy, man. Just crazy.
Got a few more stories, three more, in fact. This would be perfect. It will get us up at close to the hour. Sure. SBF.
Hey, okay. 25 years. What do you think?
Well, let's just do the rundown first. So he was sentenced to 25 years in prison for his involvement with Alameda Research and FTX. And from what I'm reading, it's not going to be the maximum security facility. I'm not sure what level it is, but they're saying it's not going to be at a maximum security. Also, CoinDesk is writing that he will be placed as close as possible to his family. So they're going to try to accommodate his family and him as much as possible to have him at least located in a close proximity to his family.
Cool.
The Department of Probation was recommending a 105-year sentence. And, well, that is actually much less than what prosecutors were pushing at around the 40 to 50-year range. So he's given 25 years in the end. And remember, he was living a good life for a while, and this was on the dime of customers, you know, parties, League of Legends, orgies, and God knows whatever else. And perhaps all three at the same time. I don't really know. But this closes the door on this chapter, at least for now, because we talked about it, you and I, briefly on Axis of Easy last week. For people that have not subscribed, I suggest you do so. And I know you're of the opinion that he's not going to be serving the full 25 years. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way.
Yeah. So, in fact, didn't we make a comparison? Who's going to be coming out first, him or Ross? Was it you that asked?
No, we're saying if you had to pick between Ross, Assange, and SBF, when the dust settles, who's going to have served the longest sentence? No one's taking SBF in that. No one.
I'm going with Ross for the longest sentence. I don't know why. I think that they're going to just see that through. It could be wrong. But yeah, anything else you want to add to this story? Because it was a big thing a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago.
I don't know. Not really. It's not enough. He bankrupted a ton of people. The guys from All In did a segment on this week or last week, I forget. And they honestly, those four guys don't know fuck all about this SBF operation, FTX, nothing. They're like, oh, it was a profitable business. I don't know why he did the stuff he did. Like, well, guys, let me tell you, it wasn't a profitable business. The only time that he was able to, like, you know, make money was when he stole it from people. So just be careful who you listen to, I guess. Just listen to me and Len instead. We know what we're talking about. But anyway, the sentence, I mean, I can't imagine the guy serves more than, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Like, why do you think he's going to serve more than that? He's a huge Democratic donor, huge, huge Republican donor. Like, he's, you know, he's greased to the palms. It's like that woke bespoke thing. Like, you know, broke is he's going to serve the whole sentence. Woke is he's only going to serve 10 or 15 years. And bespoke is he wasn't greasing palms to stay out of jail. He was greasing palms to get out of jail early because he knew he was going when he was given all those donations. That's my guess. And so I would say, I don't know. Boomer, it looks like Boomer and Julie and Kinetic Finance have a bet at 15 years. Would you take the over or under on 15 years?
Way, way under. I'm wearing a tinfoil hat for this one.
Okay.
And I suspect his involvement with who he dealt with, probably information he knows, maybe something's going to happen.
Oh, you think he's going to die?
I never said that, but you're reading between the lines. Perhaps.
Wow. Okay.
Like, that's, you know,
Sam Bankman Epstein. Okay, sure. Who's going to serve a longer jail sentence? Sam Bankman-Fried or P. Diddy?
Is P. Diddy in jail?
Oh no, you don't know. Okay.
No,
we're not going to talk about it on air. Okay. People in the chat, who you got longer sentence, P. Diddy or Sam Bankman-Fried? Anyway, next story.
I don't even know what he did.
Yeah, well, look it up.
Or should I look it up?
Don't look it up now. And definitely, if you're going to Google it, maybe do it incognito.
All right. So, yeah, users on X, they're reporting that Google has integrated Blockchain Explorer into their search engine. And all you need to do is type in the search field Bitcoin, followed by the Bitcoin address, and it should show you the balance for that particular address. But when I tried it out using a generic address that I've been looking at, I tried to find on Google, it didn't work for me. And maybe because I wasn't logged into Google, or maybe, I don't know, but for whatever reason, it didn't work for me. But others are reporting that you're able to do this. But either way, if this does work for you, I would strongly suggest not plugging in any addresses that are associated with your Bitcoin transactions. Yep. Doing so, you know, you're going to be tying your identification, your IP, and potentially your Google account to a search which you're doing, which is presumably your Bitcoin address. That's why when I did a search, I just used some generic address I found. I just typed in generic address Bitcoin, and I got that and tried searching that. So this is also a good reminder out there for people out there. Don't rely on a third-party block explorer. There's, you know, if you're running your own node and you have the ability then to perform searches locally. You could control the data and you could limit what information gets sent out, which is very key. But in the end, it just goes to show you there's some interesting things going on here, because if you're looking at this story, this Google blockchain search story, it's very interesting because Google, not too long ago, didn't want even advertising about Bitcoin at all. Mm-hmm. The times are changing. So if you read between the lines, it looks like they're getting more cozy with Bitcoin, but they're doing this also, I guess, to try to, who's Google, what are they known for? Getting information.
Exactly.
And this is another way to get information. So I would strongly suggest people out there, if you're going to use this, just do it for fun. Never use any of your transactions. Try to find a transaction that is publicly known, like anything. Anything, and search those for fun. Don't use your own. Search on your node. You'll be good.
Look up the Coinbase wallets. That's it.
I just think
that there's some subsection of people, like the engagement farmers on Twitter, who are always like, oh man, look at this. Google's actually donating, giving resources to, you know, Bitcoin related stuff. You know, what they probably did is just copy some kind of open API. Like, does mempool.space have an API you can use? Like, can you just pull their API and use it on your website or whatever? I wonder if you can or not. Because maybe you can't, but at the end of the day, like, Google could have just done something like that and just worked into the search. It wouldn't take much to do that.
They give you the source code for free, but mempool gives you the source code for free. And with terms of, in terms of getting everything and putting it on a database, you have different options. You could use Electrum Rust server.
Electrum, yeah.
So there's lots of different options, and it's all freely available, open source.
So it wasn't that hard for them to do it, basically, is what I'm saying.
Right. They could do it, and they could just manipulate it for how they want. Absolutely. So yeah, this is not something special. The information is there, and they have the people in-house to do whatever they want.
For sure.
An army of people. Yeah, you're 100% right. Sorry, I didn't want to derail this too much.
No, that's all I wanted to add. There's not much to say about that, except to your point. I'm glad you said it. Don't search for addresses that belong to you or transactions that are related to you in Google's search bar. Don't search for them at all. Like, don't look at them. If you're looking for a transaction, like, use something else. Okay, go to Tor or whatever. But I wouldn't be doing it on anything ClearNet, because over time, much like every Instagram ad you see, you're like, damn, I wouldn't mind actually buying that. You're going to be tied to a lot of Bitcoin stuff before you know it too. So you have to assume that everything you type in is recorded and pinned to you. And I think that's probably the case. Like you mentioned, Aylin, that's their business model almost at this point. I don't think that's up for debate. So don't play the game, man. Don't be tempted. It's just a stupid little feature. It's nothing special. It's nothing you haven't seen before. There's no need for you to try it.
Yeah, you are the product, right? When you're offering something for free and all you have to do is just sign up and give nothing else, how are they making money? How are they able to provide this service? Certainly through ads, but also it's the gathering of information and selling of that information. And if they're gathering this information related to your transactions, I don't want to go too much into this. We talked about it. But anyways, Antminer, it's the last story I have. They announced the new S21 Pro, and they did this at the Global Digital Mining Summit 2024. I think that was held in Oman, if I recall correctly. The S21 Pro, pretty good specs here. Out of the box, 234 terahash, 15 joules per terahash. So you only need four of these bad boys to get to one terahash,
which
is incredible. This is two times the hash rate of the S19 Pro. And it's a great piece of equipment to deal with the upcoming halving, right? If you think about it, this is an absolute just perfect plug and play. Now, there's going to be a lot of electricity that comes along with it, but still, just goes to show you that there is more that they could squeeze out of this. And as for comparison, the S21, the non-pro version, has a hash rate of 200 terahash per second and a power consumption ratio of 17.5 joules per terahash. So comparing the two, the S21 and the S21 Pro, 17% more hash rate from the Pro, 14% more efficient. And this, the S21 was only launched 7 months ago. 7 months later, we have something now with 17% more efficient
hash rate. Starting to go faster, yeah.
Lots of R&D went into this. Let's be honest, they probably put a crap load into this. But also, on top of everything I've mentioned here, Bitmain is claiming that these rigs could handle ambient temperatures up to 45 Celsius. Wow. So this may be a perfect contender and a fit for those energy-rich Middle East countries that have to deal with high.
Can you name one? Do you have any in mind?
Oman, man. They were just in Oman to do this. So like, why not them? Qatar, sorry. It's
pretty wild, man. That's like, I mean, I don't know if you've done the roundup, but just the speed that these guys are coming out with new tech in mining. And I know that these are quote unquote industrial units, but Len, like, you know, you're like 3 years away from being able to put this in your home, basically for, I don't know, what, $3,000 probably. What will these things go for in 3 years? Before the end of the next epoch, you're talking 7 months unit to unit here. It's wild. Like, it is wild. And it's happening. You know, it's not like this is unexpected. You see this everywhere, whether it's computers or cell phones, or, you know, like you and I play video games, Len, like the PlayStation 5 now, Sony says it's in its end of life cycle. The thing's been out for what, 4 years maybe? The PS4 was
in November it came out.
The PS4 was a decade. This thing's 4 years. They say it's like getting near its end of life.
But they're going to do the Pro next.
Yeah, but it's only going to be, the Pro's only a 2 year thing. So even if they go three more years, it's still only 65 or 66%, right? Of what it was the previous cycle, and quicker and quicker and quicker, you're seeing it everywhere.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mining is going to be no different. Now, here's the question for you: what's this mean for the industrial guys? Do they start to? And this is a favorite topic of Bitcoiners, right? If you know that something is going to be cheaper in the future, do you delay the purchase? I don't know what you do now, because you can't get enough rigs for an industrial operation, and then have the manufacturer say to you in 7 months, by the way, these are a generation old now. I don't know what you do. I'm not sure what the fix is for that, or what the outcomes are going to be here as far as those operations, right? It's interesting because, you know, you got to get financing, you got to find power, you got to do all these things. It's a huge ask. You would like to have the things running for a year, 18 months. I don't know what the cycle is, but it can't be 7 months. 7 months is like nothing. So I don't know what they're going to do, but it's cool news all the same. Like, I love seeing this kind of firepower come online. It's good for the network. It's good for the price, but for miners, industrial miners, like, it's a
tough game. It's cutthroat. I don't think they're going to be in a process if they ordered a bunch of S21s to start upgrading them and replacing them with the Pros, because they knew full well once they got S21s, there's going to be another edition coming out. Look at the S19, how many different versions.
I know, on and on.
So the same is probably going to happen with the S21s. Just there's going to be a number of different options available for consumers. And for those that are in industrial mining, man, I don't know how they're going to be able to move forward. They got the halving coming up. The price of Bitcoin is really high. But also another thing is debt. If they have to take on debt to buy stuff, that ain't cheap. They might be able to get some favorable terms.
It's hard to take debt now, because in the last cycle, I mean, you and me talked about this when we were doing more minor content, and you were especially doing minor content. What were they using to get the debt?
They collateralized their equipment or
the rigs. Exactly. And no one is giving debt on that now. No one's going to give you debt on rigs anymore. That ship has sailed. So I don't know how they're even going to raise that now, besides, you know, issuing equity, but that's not
dilution or just going out and say, I need X amount of dollars. Okay. We'll give you these terms. But again, like, because everything is more expensive, so that is especially, these guys are tough. And on top of all that, now, and I've been theorizing this for a while. I think we've been theorizing this for a while. The oil and gas getting involved.
Yeah.
They have a lot of capital they could draw upon, and they don't have to seek energy for the most part.
Yeah.
Is if they have energy that's just being wasted, just
monopolize
that, right? That's just one checkbox that you don't have to deal with. And
it's something. And the other thing too, I wrote this in the research roundup for people who didn't read it, but this week and for the rest of the quarter, it's actually this week and 45 days following today, you start to see 13Fs come out and you find out who's been buying the Bitcoin ETFs. And this is important because of the point you just made. One of the things we've heard over and over and over again from guys who are in the mining space, from guys who are in the finance space, SB comes to mind, and everyone we've talked to about publicly traded miners and why energy companies don't get in, what's the thing we always hear? Career risk. It's too much to ask somebody who's sitting pretty in the C-suite to say, we should be going into mining and spend, you know, $10 billion on a huge swarm of S19 J Pros or whatever ones you just said, S21s, and have the board kick you back and then start a group chat without you and eliminate you from your C-suite spot. But as the 13Fs come out, you're going to find out which kind of big money operations and entities are buying these ETFs, and that lowers the career risk. For the first time now, you're going to have a lot of financials that weren't available to you, you know, as recently as a week ago, and you're going to be able to see who's buying. And so now guys at Exxon can take this to their board and say, look at the companies that are buying this thing. It's not going away. Here's what the miners are doing. They're going to have trouble getting debt. This is the time to strike before everyone realizes this. And I think you're going to start seeing vertical integration, and it's going to be fucking wild, man. Now, the other question, Len, is, and you and me, you know, have us, I think we have a sweet spot for this and an agreement on this. How does this affect industrial mining operations that exist today? And is it better to have centralized mining operations like Hut or Riot or Marathon that can be a target of governments? Or is it better to have companies who really like Exxon is damn near an arm of the government already? Do you want them, doing mining and oil and gas and energy? And like, do you want them doing all this stuff and to have everything in one place if the government says no more? We want to see all the transactions. You got to censor certain blocks. You got to censor certain transactions, certain addresses we don't want. We want to know who's pointing hash toward you guys. We want. What's better? The industrial miners or having oil and gas in there? I don't know. The best solution is to have more people mining in their garage. But for now, we're so far away from that. It feels like it's not good. And it's like kind of a devil you know situation. I think I'd rather have the little industrial miners, like the Huts and Marathons, than I would, Suncor firing up $5 billion in Alberta for a fucking Bitcoin mine. I think anyway, I don't know. It's just a weird thing to consider.
There's going to be a lot of transition moving forward on the mining side of things. And yeah, if you could do some garage mining or even heat your home in the wintertime, consider doing so. But of course, it may be more cost effective for you just to simply buy Bitcoin. And so it's really depending on how you want to move forward. But either way, that's it for the Bitcoin related stuff, Joe. I'm not sure if you have any stories that I missed that you want to talk about, but now's a chance to bring it up.
No, nothing comes to mind. I'm sure we'll hit some fun notables if I had to guess. So we may as well hop over there. So if you're on video with us on YouTube, or I guess if you're on Twitter Spaces, you can hang in here and we're going to keep going. And if you're listening on the podcast release on Tuesday morning, you will get the rest of this tomorrow, Wednesday morning. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you then.
Yeah, take care and don't be a cock.
Are you a fan of the old school NHL 94 game on the Genesis or SNES? Why not check out my show, the NHL 94 Podcast, from tournaments and tactics to the people who make up this community. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or find it on YouTube.